The following shir has been presented by Rav David Englander, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Gemara in Megillah Daf Vav Amud Aleph says, Zvulun am cheref nafshoi lomus ma'atam mishum denaftoli al mereme sode. And the Gemara brings an exchange that Zvulun had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zvulun complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, to my brothers you gave fields and vineyards, and to me the lot which I received in Eretz Yisrael is a mountainous region of mountains and hills. And he says, to my brothers you gave dry lands, and to me you gave lands with seas and rivers. So Zvulun was complaining about his lot, that why did he end up with a shir in Eretz Yisrael that is mountainous and mountains are not as productive agriculturally, and he received lands that are full of bodies of water. That was his complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, Kulon tzrichen lecha al yidei chilozoin. All your brothers will come to need you through the chilozoin. The chilozoin, Rashi explains, is the creature with which tcheles is produced. And therefore, tcheles is a very expensive material. And Therefore, Zvulun can be assured, Hashem assured him, that you will get you'll get an abundance of parnasa from the chilazoim, which is found in your territory. And the Gemara says, Gemara brings a pasuk, Usfunei tmunei choyl, which is a pasuk by the bracha of Zvulun in Vezeis HaBracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to him. And the Gemara brings a braisa that Sfune is chilozoin, Tmune is taris, which Rashi explains is tuna fish, and choil is schuches levona, it's very expensive type of glass. So these are the natural treasures of Zvulun's territory. And therefore, Hashem assured him that you'll get an abundance of parnasa from these natural phenomena, and especially through the chilazoin. Rashi explains what's the nature of the chilazoin. Rashi says, chilazoin oile min hayom lehorin. Chilazoin ascends from the sea to the mountains. And its blood is used to dye the tcheles dye. V'nimkar b'domim yikarim. V'nimkar b'domim yikarim. It is sold for a very expensive price. And therefore, Zvulun is lucky to have this chilazoin in his territory. Just to understand why Rashi, before we get to the main discussion, why does Rashi have to describe this fact that the chilozoin goes from the sea to the mountains? Of course, Rashi had to explain the other part, that it's used for tcheles, which is a very expensive dye, to explain why the tcheles is such a treasure. But why does Rashi have to explain the first part, that the tcheles goes from the sea to the mountains? And I think it's obvious that the explanation is because Zvulun's complaint to Hashem was the fact that he received a region that was A, mountainous, and B, full of bodies of water, and Hashem's assurance to him was that these things that you're complaining about are really a blessing in disguise. The fact that you have this land which has mountains and has the sea is what is going to attract the chilazon to your territory, because the nature of the chilazon is that it goes from the sea to the mountains. So therefore, instead of complaining about this, you should be happy that this treasure, this very expensive treasure called the chilazon, will be attracted to your territory because, specifically because of its sea axis and its mountains, which will rival, if not equal, the benefits of your brother's agricultural territories. Now, why is this Rashi important? This Rashi really is a very important Rashi in the discussion of the identity of the chilazon. For many hundreds of years, the chilazon has not been used. Our tzitzis is only only have white strings, even though the mitzvah of tzitzis really calls for a string or several strings of tchelis, as it says in the Torah, "V'nosnal tzitzis hakanof pesil tchelis." The reason why we don't have it is because nowadays it has been lost to us, the chilazon, which is the source of the tchelis. Now, ever since the late 1800s, when the Radzina Rebbe attempted to restore the mitzvah of tchelis, so he set out on an expedition to discover the chilazon and to identify it. Ever since then, there have been several theories have been espoused as to the identity of the chilazon. So there's one is the Radzina Rebbe's cuttlefish theory. There's Rabbi Herzog had seemed to like more the theory of the Yantina snail. There's the popular Murex theory. So as you can see, the chilazon today is in the middle of a big identity crisis. And hopefully one day the mystery will be solved as to the identity of the chilazon. But to date, the debate over the identity of the chilazon continues. And this Rashi is kind of problematic for several, if not all, of the current theories of the chilazon. Now, because Rashi's description of the chilazon as ascending from the sea to the mountains is something which is difficult to match in any of the, or if not all, if not all of the chilazon theories. Now, where is Rashi's source for this statement that the chilazon goes up to the mountains? Seems to be from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's one possible source, but it's also possible that it's from a Medrash. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadi Aleph states that there was a min, Apikiris, who asked Reb Ami, that you say that the dead will be resurrected and they will come back to life. He says, but the dead turn into earth, and how can earth live? That was the question of the min. And the Gemara goes on to describe various mishalim that Reb Ami gave to him to prove to him that even if the Mesim have turned into Afar, they've turned into earth, they nevertheless can live one day. And one of the things that he told him was, Alei Lahar, go up to the mountain, Ure'ei, and see. Shehayoyim Eimbay Ela Chilazin Echad, today the mountain has only one Chilazin, Lamachar, Yardu Gishamim, the next day the rain came down, Vinismale Kule Chilzainis, an entire mountain became full of chilzoinis. And Rashi over there explains that the chilozoin that is described in that Gemara is the chilozoin that is used for tchelas. And Rashi explains that it's a tolas, it's a worm, or some type of creature that resembles a worm, sheyotze min hayom, that comes out of the sea, echel l'shiv m'shana, once in 70 years, and it's used for the tchelas dye. So Rashi in Megillah seems to have a good source from that Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the chilozoin that we're discussing here is indeed, its nature is to go up to the mountains. The Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin asks on Rashi in that Gemara, he says, how does this worm or whatever the creature is, how does it go up from the Yam to the Harim? How does it go up from the sea to the mountains? That's not a natural phenomenon. And he says, maybe Ba'anane Mitra, maybe it goes up in the clouds, which is a famous type of phenomenon that there sometimes the clouds will get full of sea creatures that come up in the condensation that produces the clouds. When the clouds move to earth, move over the land, they will sometimes deposit these creatures on the land. There have been such stories. So Ramah says possibly that's what Rashi means, but the Ramah himself argues on Rashi and says that the chilozoin described in the Gemara Sanhedrin is not the chilozoin that's used for tchelas. It's a different creature, and he says it's called in Arabic chalzun, which is the word for snail in Arabic. So this is not the one that's used for tchelas. The one that's used for tchelas is a different creature, and this Gemara is describing snails that where one snail lands on a mountain and the next day come back after the rain and you see that the whole mountain is full of snails. This Rama would seem to would be a very strong kasha on the theory that a chilozoin is a snail, because the Rama seems to clearly indicate that a chalzun in Arabic, which is the word for snail, is exclusive to the chilozoin which is used for tchelas. This is one of the questions on the theory, the very popular theory today that the chilozoin is a snail. Now, another possible source for Rashi's statement here in Megillah, that the chilozoin goes up to the mountains. And again, the reason why it's important for us to consider these things is because in this discussion, this ongoing debate about the identity of the chilozoin, what we need to do is we need to take all the statements of Chazal and the Rishonim that describe different characteristics of the chilozoin and try to figure out somehow through that, try to get a picture of what the chilozoin might be. So that's why this Rashi is very important in getting the clear picture of what it is. Now, there's a Medrash Tanoim in Vezeis HaBrocha, which brings a Braisa. There's a similar Braisa in the Sefri in the same place, but the version of the Medrash Tanoim is very interesting because it actually brings the fact that the chilozoin washes up onto the mountains. The Medrash Tanoim brings a story. Amar Rav Yossi said, one time I was going from the city of Akko to the city of Yafo, and I encountered an old man who asked me how I'm doing, and I knew him, and I asked him, where do you get Parnassa from? And he said, my parnasa is from the chilozoin. So I asked him, my son, is it found? Is it in existence? this chilazon, and he said to me, Rebbe, Hashamayim, which is a chilazon of a shvur, Sheharbe mekoymos bayom, there are many places in the sea, Shehu mushloch bohen behorim, where he gets thrown from the sea to the mountains. The samamiyos makifos oisoi, and there are these creatures of called samamiyos, which seem to be deadly creatures, makifos oisoi, that surround the chilazon, or surround the area where the chilazon washes up to. V'chol mishehu bo v'neitel meimenu, anyone who comes and takes from that from the chilzonis that wash up onto the mountains, these samamiyos come, they bite him, and he dies. And so Rabbi Yossi concluded, he said, it appears that this is mesukon latzadikim la'asad lohoi, that the chilazon is prepared for the tzadikim for the future world. So what's important about the Medrash Tanoim is that the Medrash Tanoim clearly states that the chilazon is thrown from the sea to the mountains. Now, that would be very that would match very very well. That would fit in nicely with Rashi's description of chilazon oilam in hayom laharim, because he's saying there's a place in the sea, or places in the sea, where the chilazon can be thrown from the sea to the mountains. And we know of a similar type of place in Eretz Yisrael, if any of you have been there, called Rosh HaNikra, which is like kind of a cliff that with different crevices, and the sea actually goes up to those cliffs, and it's very possible that in such a type of setup you can have sea creatures washing up onto the mountains if the cliffs would be in the right shape, where they can actually get some footing on those mountains. So again, this seems to be the source for Rashi, and another very important part of this discussion of whether or not the chilazon, of the identity of the chilazon, is there are those who say that the chilazon cannot be found in our times, because Chazal have already said that the chilazon was nignaz. The chilazon was hidden until the times of Mashiach, so therefore it's impossible to find the chilazon. Now, the source for this seems to be the Sifri in Vezeis HaBracha, which brings the same story with Rabbi Yossi, just with a little different version. And over there, Rabbi Yossi concluded that Nikr hu shegonuz latzadikim la'asad lavoi, that the chilazon is hidden, has been hidden for the tzadikim la'asad lavoi. So there are those who have pointed to this lashon of the Sifri, that we see from here that the chilazon was nignaz. It's not to be found until Asad Lavi. And therefore, whatever can be found today is obviously not the chilazon. The only problem with this proof is that, first of all, we see the version of the Medrash Tanoim is a little different. It doesn't say it's gonuz latzadikim la'asad lavoi. It just says it's mesukon latzadikim, which means it's prepared for the tzadikim, but not necessarily hidden. So, according to that version of the same story, we don't have a source for the fact that the chilazon was hidden. But besides for that fact, there's a very obvious problem with this Sifri. That is that Rabbi Yossi was a Tana. He lived in the times of the Tanoim. And we find very clearly in the Gemara Menachos that the chilazon was found and it was used in the times of the Amoraim. They were still using and dyeing tchelas with the chilazin. So how is it possible to say in the times of Yosi that it was gonus? This is also another problem is the fact that the Rabbi Yosi says it's gonus l'tzadikim, also said lavoi, which sounds like it was hidden, and really this Zokin Echod is telling him, this old man is telling him that really he makes a panasa from it, he makes a living from it. It's very hard to say that it was hidden and yet there's someone alive making a living from it. So, anyways, it's very hard to take out anything conclusive from this Sifri. There is one theory that I heard from a colleague of mine that said that he said an explanation of the Sifri that there's really a cryptic message over here. And that is that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that it already in the times of the Amoraim, the Tchelis was being limited, was being restricted by the king. And whatever Tchelis production was being done at that time needed to be underground. Needed to be under the radar of the government. So it's possible to say that according to, in the times of Rav Yosi, there were already these restrictions against the Tchelis. So there were still people, but there were still people that went to Mesiris Nefesh and produced Tchelis even in face of these. Despite these restrictions. And therefore it's possible that the Tchelis was still being produced even a few hundred years later, but it was all being done undercover. And accordingly, the explanation of the Sifri would be like this, that this Zokin Echod was telling Rav Yosi that he makes a living from the Chilazon, which means he's doing it undercover, and Rav Yosi asked him, "Minimso, is it still here? Is it still around? I mean, say, is it still accessible to the point where it's possible to make a living from it? Because the government is restricting it, so obviously there are guards in the places where the chalazim would be found to make sure that no one would take any chalazim for themselves." And the answer of the old man was that Mokim Yesh Bayom Umutl Bein Harim is really an allusion to the fact that it's being done undercover, like we find in Gemara and Rehud Ben Meseiro, says Yoshev Bein Shnei Harim Gedoilim V'Somach, when the government made a ban against giving smicha, so it says that Rehud Ben Meseiro sat between two mountains and he gave smicha, so this lashon of Mutl Bein Harim is also the same type of lashon, which means he did it in hiding. And Samamiyos Mekishis Oisa is an allusion to the Malchus Raimi, which we find in the Medrash that the Malchus Raimi is called a Smamis. So the Samamiyos Mekishis Oisa is really the guards of the Roman Empire that were standing guard and making sure that no one should take them, and if anyone would take them, they would be punished by death. So on that, Rabbi Yosi said that it's gonus l'tzadikim la'asid lavoi. So anyway, it's a nice theory. It's a very possible explanation. It fits in very nicely in the Sifri. Again, according to the Medrash Tanoim, we don't have any such Sifri. We don't have any such Medrash at all. According to that version, it's a matter of fact, it's not even gonus. But anyway, the debate continues until today about the identity of the chilazon. I think it's safe to say that the most popular theory today is that of the murex snail, but even that has many detractors, and hopefully very soon Mashiach will come and will solve the mystery once and for all, and we'll go back to the Mekayim, the mitzvah of Tzitzis and the mitzvah of Tchelis.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.